Hi, and welcome to Unit 6, HIT Facilitated Error Cause and Effect. This is part of Component 7, Working with HIT Systems. There are several ways to define errors, and these are a few terms you should be familiar with. There are errors of omission and commission, and just as they sound, an error of omission is defined as an error which occurs as a result of an action not taken. For example, when a delay in performing an indicated cesarean section results in fetal death, or when a nurse omits a dose of a medication that should be administered, or when a patient's suicide is associated with a lapse in carrying out frequent patient checks in a psychiatric unit. Errors of omission may or may not lead to adverse outcomes. Commission is defined as an error which occurs as the result of an action that is taken. So examples include when a drug is administered at the wrong time, in the wrong dosage, or using the wrong route, surgery is performed on the wrong side of the body, and transfusion errors involving blood cross-matched for another patient, things like that. Mistakes, on the other hand, reflect failures from incorrect choices rather than lapses or slips in concentration. Mistakes typically involve insufficient knowledge, failure to correctly interpret available information, or application of the wrong rule. So, for example, choosing the wrong diagnostic test or ordering a suboptimal medication for a given condition would represent a mistake. A slip, on the other hand, would be forgetting to check a medication against the chart to make sure that you ordered those meds for the right patient, or starting to reconstitute a medication and realizing you grabbed the wrong one and then you throw it away. So usually slips are caught, whereas mistakes usually occur. So distinguishing slips from mistakes serves two important functions. First, the risk factor for their occurrences differ. Slips often occur in the face of competing sensory or emotional distractions, fatigue, and stress. Mistakes, on the other hand, more often reflect a lack of experience or insufficient training. Second, the appropriate responses to these error types differ. So reducing the risk of slips requires attention to the designs of protocols, devices, and work environments. So maybe using checklists so key steps will not be omitted, or trying to reduce fatigue among personnel, or shifting high-risk work away from the personnel who have been working extended hours. You can remove unnecessary variation in the design of key devices. You can eliminate distractions like phones from areas where work requires intense concentration, and other redesign strategies. An interesting strategy that is being tested currently involves something called the cone of silence, or the silent cockpit, similar to that of pilots on takeoff and landing. So for example, when drugs are being mixed, measured, administered, no one interrupts the person doing the activity. So reducing the likelihood of mistakes, on the other hand, again, as I mentioned before, mistakes are things that actually happen, and they more often reflect a lack of experience or insufficient training. So a strategy to reduce the likelihood of mistakes typically requires more training or more supervision. But even in the many cases of slips, healthcare has typically responded to all errors as if they were mistakes, with remedial education and/or added layers of supervision, when in reality, the more appropriate action is to look at the design that encouraged the slips. More education will not help faulty design. So take what I have presented so far and carry it all over to healthcare, and then add HIT on top of it, particularly HIT that has been built by well-intentioned but non-clinically savvy people. There's a very interesting video here on the slide. It's called Oh Schnocks, and it is a perfect example of what I mean. Again, I am sure that these systems were built by very well-meaning people, but you will witness firsthand the frustration of a clinician who cannot figure out the interface to HIT. So I refer back to the work of Jacob Nielsen that we discussed earlier and also available on the web, where we see the six components of usability. In the Oh Schnocks video, we see the consequences of violations of those principles. So think back to those six usability components. Wasn't really that long ago, folks. Learnability, efficiency, memorability, errors, satisfaction, and utility. Think about those things and then watch this video. How many can you identify? So the Healthcare Human Factors Group from Canada's University Health Network actually produced this short comic video that gives a sense of what it's like to deal with all the gadgetry in a modern hospital. So these clips come from the group's own in-lab usability tests, where doctors and nurses are closely observed to see how technology could be improved to increase safety, ease of use, and efficiency. At the time of recording, the video link that was on the slide was active and live. If you find that you go to watch this video and it is not, again, you can go to Google and just Google the Healthcare Human Factors Group from Canada University Health Network, and the name of the video was Oh Schnocks. So is all lost? No. As an HIT professional, there are ways to address the issue and to obtain a deeper understanding of the problems. As you're working with HIT systems, you may bear the brunt of user frustration as HIT is introduced and becomes a mandatory way of doing business in healthcare. So here is actually another short video, and it has absolutely nothing to do with HIT, but it does have everything to do with solving these sorts of complex issues with humans. The long and the short of it is that if you don't understand how people will really use a system, and if you don't work with them from the get-go, and you do not design or buy a system that was built with the user in mind, you're going to end up with Oh Schnocks. So watch how Mayo has addressed this. How could you model what you see in the video in an office that is implemented in EHR? Again, thinking back to the prior assertions, you may not be able to change something that's already in place or a large system that millions of dollars have already been spent on to install, or you may not be able to alter the decision of an executive whose mind is made up. That does not, however, excuse you for not understanding the fundamentals. As the HIT person, users will confront you, and then they'll ask you questions like, why do I have to go to the start button in Windows to shut down? And other similarly baffling questions. And it's your job to have a basic level of competency and literacy when it comes down to usability, HIT facilitated errors, and methods that can be used to either reduce or prevent these from occurring in the first place. Also on this slide, so the video link is there in just a moment. I'll have you click on that and watch the video and then come back and finish the slides. But also on this slide, I want you to see the formal definition of human factors from the International Ergonomics Association. This is their definition from 2000. It has not changed. And I'd like you to look at that and think about the way that this is written. So it says, ergonomics or human factors is the scientific discipline concerned with the understanding of interactions among humans and other elements of a system, and the profession that applies theory, principles, data, and other methods to design in order to optimize human well-being and overall system performance. So think about these words: understanding of interactions of humans and other elements. So think back to the very, very first material from Component 7 when we talked about systems and bottlenecks and how an action in one area of the subway system can cause a domino effect in another area of the subway system. Same thing in HIT. A misrepresentation or a typo or a seemingly innocent rounding up function in a drug calculation can be propagated across thousands of users with a single simple keystroke. Human factors in HIT is equally concerned not only with the interaction amongst humans when they use a system, but also about the downstream effects. So ultimately, human factors is about designing HIT and only buying systems that have been designed with the user in mind. And those systems have been built by those who both understand the system of healthcare and the downstream effects, so that the product that you end up acquiring and implementing is highly usable and it results in high quality, efficient, and safe patient care. So anyway, click into this human factors video, watch it, and then come back and finish out the slide deck. So to finish out, how can we help to avoid error in HIT? HIT can help to reduce error, but only if it's well designed and appropriate for the task at hand. Like in aeronautics, they learned very quickly not to put the eject seat button next to the emergency brake button. So we need systems that are easy to read, they're easy to understand, they're logical, they support, not thwart, cognition. They're agile and flexible. They help to prevent error, and they make the right thing to do the easiest thing to do. So to conclude, is it easy to assure usability and to build systems that support busy clinicians? Absolutely not. User-centered HIT design at this moment in time, unfortunately, does not get top billing. So you are going to encounter some really faulty products out there. You will see oschnocks in real life, and you will have frustrated users barking at you. So having the fundamental knowledge of how HIT can prevent errors is just as important as understanding how it facilitates error. A knowledgeable HIT professional will be able to identify the issue before it emerges, or will be able to determine ways to address the aspects of low usability systems that actually spawn new classes of error. Your value as an HIT professional depends on your ability to help users make the best decisions, whether this is in supported usable systems that help them to do the right thing and prevent them from making errors, or helping them to inform purchasing decisions. If you see something like this coming your way, not a good idea. Don't buy it. It also requires that you be assertive and brave. It may fall to you to identify areas where HIT error can creep in and actually diminish safety. Thank you. This completes the slide deck for Unit 6, HIT Facilitated Error Cause and Effect, part of Component 7, Working with HIT Systems.